As we remain standing, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All you ever hear around here is Jesus. Couldn't we just talk about God for a change? This was a comment I heard a few years back. Then there was this one from a participant at an Alpha course. Well, Stephanie, this person said, I don't know what to make of the Holy Spirit, but one thing's for sure, the Holy Spirit isn't Anglican. Couldn't argue with that. Well, today is Trinity Sunday, the day of the year that we consider that sometimes confusing triumvirate, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, the Heavenly Father. And while we don't need to understand the Trinity in order to worship God any more than we need to know the core temperature of the sun to get a suntan, still, I think there's a lot of good news to be found in this doctrine, in following a triune God. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look to find the good news in worshiping a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Technically, the concept of the Trinity as an official church teaching came about sometime in the 4th century at the Council of Nicaea, and you may want to turn to your green service books on page 188. On page 188, you find the Nicene Creed, and that's the document that came out of this committee work in Nicaea in the 4th century. I think of it as, I don't want to say a rare, but a good example of effective committee work. And what they were doing at Nicaea, they were reflecting on Scripture and the Christian experience of God throughout history. And here's what the committee members observed, that throughout history, God acts in a three-personed kind of way. God acts in a three-personed way. Now, Scripture is very clear on the unity of God. God reveals himself to us as one God. The Lord our God is one God, Scripture says. And that's why we begin the creed by affirming we believe in one God. But alongside the Christian experience of the oneness of God, the committee was faced with the biblical witness to the person of Jesus. Jesus, who is more than just human. Jesus, Scripture tells us, is Emmanuel, who is God with us. While not completely identical with God the Father, remember Jesus prayed to the Father and Jesus was obedient to the Father. Yet somehow in Jesus we affirm that when we meet Jesus, we meet God. Jesus told his disciples, "The Father and I are one, and whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And so in our creed, we affirm that Jesus is also somehow God. And finally, the committee had to deal with this talk in Scripture of the Holy Spirit. And you may have noticed as you read through the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is sometimes so closely identified with God that the Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ. At other times, though, the Holy Spirit is described as a separate person, such as when Jesus promised to pray to the Father to send another advocate, the Spirit of Truth, to be with them. And so in that third and last section of the Creed, we affirm that the Holy Spirit is also somehow God, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. And so at the end of all this reflecting on Scripture, this is what we're left with. We're left with the doctrine of the Trinity. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three separate gods, but one God. Moving behind divine math, though, we come to the meaning that underlies this equation. And I think the first truth that the Trinity reveals to us is pretty obvious. I think the Trinity points us to the mystery of God, that God is indeed other. There are things about God that we're just never going to fully understand this side of heaven. In religious jargon, the glory of God is one of the ways that we talk about God as being different than us, or the holiness of God. And so on Trinity Sunday, we sing songs like Holy, 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 that captures the fact that God is beyond us, God is awesome, and God is beyond our human understanding. Paradoxically, I think the Trinity also shows us that while God is shrouded in mystery, yet God, the truth of the Trinity is that God wants to reveal himself to us. God wants to know us. God wants to be known by us and loved by us and in relationship to us. And I think it's the Trinity that shows this truth about God's heart most perfectly. You see, embedded in the very activity of the three persons of God is God's desire to reveal himself. So we believe in God the Father, who's creator of heaven and earth. And it was God's intention that creation tell us something about his qualities. So if any of you have been camping ever, you know, away from city lights, and it's nighttime, and you look up into the sky, and you see millions of stars overhead, and you get a sense of the awesomeness and power and creativity and the wonder of a God who made this beautiful world. The psalmist says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim God's handiwork. And in a sense, you can think of creation as a kind of website, God.com, telling us about the God who made us. So in creation, we get a glimpse of the qualities of the Creator, and we see the face of God in the first person of the Trinity. He is our Creator, God over us. One Christian thinker, John Calvin, said that God is too vast, God is too mysterious for us to handle. And so he says, out of love, God makes himself available to us in a form that we can understand. In Jesus, Scripture says, the whole fullness of God dwells bodily. Or if you want to put it in simpler terms, when we meet Jesus, we see the face of God. Because this human Jesus is also God, he enables us to find out what God's heart is like. Jesus reliably tells us the things that God loves, the things that God wants for us and for our world. And this is important because there's one God and not three separate gods. Jesus does offer us this trustworthy picture of who God is. And so this is the truth of God, whose desire to show himself to us is so great that he became Emmanuel, who is God with us. In all that I've just said, it might end up sounding that God wants us to know things about him in a sort of impersonal way. And while it's true that Jesus calls us into relationship with the Father and Jesus invites us to follow him, I think it's really in the third person of the Trinity that we discover the intimacy that God desires for us. For in God the Holy Spirit, we discover that God's hope is that we will come to know him in an intimate and personal way. God the Holy Spirit dwells in us, Scripture tells us, and God's Holy Spirit offers us an identity as God's adopted children. God the Holy Spirit offers us the gift of belonging, which I think is one of the most intimate ways of relating with others. So the Holy Spirit is the face of God in the third person of the Trinity. This is the truth of a God whose desire to make himself known to us and to be in relationship with us that is so great that he dwells in us. He is the advocate God in us. So in answer to the question, who is God, Christians answers, God is God over us, God with us, and God in us. The Trinity shows us that God's deepest desire is to love us and to be in relationship with us. One theologian offers the image of a hug to help us get a handle on the Trinity. And he says that in a hug, there's actually two movements that take place. On the one hand, in a hug, we're giving ourselves, right? We're giving ourselves to the person that we love. And at the same time, our arms are drawing the person that we love close to our heart. And this theologian says, God the Father has two hands, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And together, these two hands of God draw us close to the Father's heart. And God loves to draw each one of us into his embrace through his Son Jesus and through the power of his Holy Spirit. So God is Trinity. Is that hard to understand? Yes. I actually cut out a part of this sermon when I tried to explain it because I realized it was heresy. The minute you try to explain the Trinity, you're in trouble. So is it confusing? Yes. But really, that's no surprise because God, there is so much about God that we simply cannot understand or fathom with our human minds. And yet, God is Trinity, reminding us that in the end, God bridges the distance between us, longing to be in relationship with us through his Son Jesus and through his Holy Spirit. This holy God is the same now and always, God calling out to each one of us, longing to reveal himself to you, longing to draw you into deeper relationship with him. And so the only thing that there is to do this day is to rejoice and be glad. Draw comfort that you live your life under the blessing of a Father who is Father, Son, God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And sing this morning with joyful hearts to a God who is mysterious and holy and awesome and yet very, very near. Let's bow our heads. And let's pray. Living God, Father Almighty, creator of this beautiful world, we thank you and we praise you for the life you give us and the life you sustain in our world. And we thank you that despite your glory and your holiness and your power, that you long to make yourself known to us. Through your creation, most perfectly in your Son Jesus, and drawing us to you ever through your Holy Spirit in us. We thank you for your love and your goodness and your mercy. And although we don't profess to understand entirely this mystery, we long to live within the mystery of your divine personhood and in the loving community that we see in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.